Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Everybody, welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to discuss the Green Bay Packers' second of three preseason games that was called short in the fourth quarter when the Packers down. So I guess you got to call it a 21-17 loss for the Packers. Of course, the outcome of these games means nothing, but we're here to discuss our videotape review of the game and some of the things that Eric and I gleaned from rewatching the tape. Eric, let's dive right into it. The first take that we have is it's about Rashid Walker, seventh round draft pick last season from Penn State. Played all of four snaps last year, all on special teams. He's a tackle. Tell everybody what you saw rewatching the tape the other night.
Well, a couple things stick out. Obviously, his size jumps right out at you. He has some extremely long arms, which dealing with speed rushers, that's a asset that is not coachable. Obviously, it's nothing you can do. You either got them or you don't. So he's got the physical tools. Plays with a little bit of bend. Like to see him probably bend a hair more in the running game. But a couple of things that stand out, other than his physical attributes, is that he plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and I really like the way he blocks to the end of the whistle, you know. So those are some things that you can coach, but that's basically what's under the left nipple and gets you going and gets you on every given play. Thought he gets off the ball better than he did last year. Certainly they worked on his kick step and has the ability, I think, to be able to handle some of the speed rushers. And he had a really good one that he played up against in the first quarter for a couple of snaps and handled it pretty good. And quite frankly, you know, he could be the heir apparent there at left tackle.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into a little bit, because this is something that you and I discussed in our hour-plus conversation today after going over the tape. You know, they started him at left tackle instead of Yash Nyman. With Bakary not playing, he's not playing in the preseason games. And he was playing a lot of left tackle in practice last week as well. So what do you think the future is for this guy a year or two down the road? He's a second-year player right now. And after we talk about that, I probably want to talk a little bit about what his role could be even this season. But what do you think of this guy's future? What position, what could it be? Is this a bona fide potential left tackle in the league?
Yeah, for sure. I full-heartedly believe that. And in fact, I guess that they started him in front of Nyman should tell us all what they think about him. You know, they wanted to get him out there against a number one defense and see if he could withstand it. And he certainly did. And like I said, the things that stuck out to me other than his size was his ability to get off the ball, play with a little bit of knee bend, you know, so he's going to want to bend a little bit more there. I think they're going to want that at some point. But more importantly was the motor and being able to block. And for a large man like that to be able to turn his hips in the hole and get to where he needs to be is pretty impressive. And, you know, being able to block till the whistle blows, that's just – you know, that's That's what you got inside, or you don't. You either going to be lazy and not finish blocks, but I guess, you know, you saw him put some guys on his back, albeit safeties, but however, you got to be an athlete to go out and get one of those guys because they can move pretty good. So it just shows you that he has the physical ability. Now, whether or not he's going to be able to withstand the mental abilities of the game, especially when he's going against some of the more grizzled vets that have a bunch of counter moves and being able to withstand that. But, against Judon, he was able to withstand it. He came with a hard outside rush and then tried to sneak back inside, and he had enough left in the tank to be able to reset and stop that. So, you know, there's a lot there to be very, very hopeful for.
Yeah, it's so I went back and watched Judon played 12 snaps. I went back and watched it was Packers' first two series. Went back and watched all of them. He switched sides. So he actually probably lined up more on against right tackle than against left tackle. But the play you're talking about was their one true one-on-one rush. And it was the first play of this Packers' second series. And Judon tries to do an outside rush and then come back in, bat his hands away and come back inside. And Walker basically stoned him. If anybody has access to that tape, they might want to take a look at it. If you have NFL Game Pass, you can take a look at that play. But, like, can you just, in a nutshell, really quick, what did he do there? What did Judon try to do? And what was Walker able to do to basically to stymie that rush?
Well, that's a great question. And, first of all, Judon tried to come out upside or up the field and fast, kind of a speed rush move, and with those long arms he was able to reach out and get him. And a lot of times when you're in that position as a defensive end or outside linebacker, you see that hard setup outside, you know that their weight is going to be there, you can probably sneak back inside on that. However, his inside foot was really good, and he was able to plant that down on the ground and redirect off it and stymie that inside rush and just basically, you know, stone him right where he was. So that was a superior football rep out of a young left tackle.
So this is significant, not just for, you know, let's say the Packers want to part with David Bakhtiari next offseason. So this guy gives him a viable alternative. All of a sudden drafting a left tackle might not be as high of a priority as we would have guessed. But he could help him. He might end up helping them this year, because Zach Tom, their right tackle, it looks like he's probably the top backup at both guards and center. And so if the Packers get an injury there, I think there's a pretty good chance they move Tom in there, because their depth at tackle is better than on the inside, and they'll replace Tom at right tackle. I'm not positive they'd do that, but that's the best guess. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was a given that – you know, because it was looking like Tom was going to win the job. It was a given. It was, all right, this will be Josh Diamond that'll come in. All of a sudden, that's not a given anymore. What would you do? Would you go with Walker? Would you go with Diamond? Is still to be determined by what you see next week. What do you think?
Well, I think it depends on who go. Well, let me answer that. Regular season, there's an injury, let's say, at center. I think you want to keep your best five out there, right? So, you know, if you're going to pull Tom and slide him into the center spot, which is a really good decision, I don't think they're going to move Jenkins anymore. They're going to leave him right where he's at because he looks really good right now. And I think the next alternative is you bring Rashid Walker in and line him up there and let him go. That would give you your best five out on the field at any given time. A guard, you know, kind of a toss up there, but you know, I guess you have to ask, is Tom your better option at guard over you know, Ryan or any of the other guys that are there? And I think the way that I would do it, if I was the O-line coach, I would slide Tom in and bring in Walker at this point.
Yeah, I think that's what they would do, except for I'm still not sure that they would go with Walker. And Nyman has 21 NFL starts. It was, I think, 11 at right tackle and 10 at left tackle in his first 3 years in the league with the Packers. So I don't know that they'd go with Walker, but it's, I mean, that would at least, at the bare minimum, that would trigger a pretty good discussion with Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich, wasn't it? Just deciding which way to go there.
Well, it really depends on, you know, I think where you are in the season. You know, if it's an early move, then I think you do it. If it's later on or a playoff game, you know, Nyman is the guy that, you know, he's got a ton of reps, and you all, and coaches always like to go back to the guys that have experience out there. But in this case, I think the difference is so great, especially with the inside step. I mean, that's where Nyman gets in trouble, is his off his inside foot. He's sometimes not able to redirect on the inside stuff, or he sets up inside and he doesn't have those super long arms where he can just kind of ride the guy out. And that's some of the physical stuff that Walker brings that Nyman does. I mean, Nyman's a devastating run blocker. When he gets his hands on you, it's over. Sometimes you just like to see Nyman block till the whistle blows and continue and finish his blocks, where sometimes he kind of lets up a little bit. So that coupled with some of the troubles that he had with the inside counter moves, and not being able to kick back quick enough on some of the speed stuff there, I think Walker has that innate ability where he doesn't have to be super fast getting out there because he has his arms are so long, but he's got quick enough feet to be able to recover and just push the guy past the quarterback, which is, you know, that's the best case scenario if you're getting handled on the outside a little bit.
Yeah, this is just I mean, these are the things that happen, you know, in almost every training camp. There's always, you know, a couple surprises, guys who either get a lot worse or get a lot better, and Walker kind of comes out of nowhere and he's in the mix now. Let's switch gears to Jordan Love. You know, in our coverage at PackersNews.com, we've covered Jordan Love to death this camp, and we basically have a couple stories about him after each game. But let's just talk about one thing that we haven't gotten into much. The play that jumped out to you was Love's 10-yard scramble up the middle on their scoring drive, his third series.
Yeah. Totally. He looked like an athlete there. I mean, right out of the bat, and breaks the tackle on the edge and to get up field, and was smart enough to be looking inside for the bad guys and was able to get down and not take a big hit. And, you know, one thing I think everybody, a lot of people, when you talk about Aaron Rodgers, was his arm ability and his throw the ball wherever he wants it. His accuracy is out of this world, and arm strength and being able to throw falling down and from odd angles and doing all that stuff. His arm talent is the best we've probably ever seen. But I think one of the part of his game that never gets enough credit was his ability to run and keep drives alive. He was never a running quarterback. And I don't think Love is a running quarterback either, but I think he has similar skills with his feet and as a young athlete to be able to do the same thing, keep drives alive. And I think preseason is preseason, and you're kind of out there, you can't wrap them in bubble wrap, but you really want to. So you may have throttled them back a little bit, but, you know, big games, especially late in the season, and they got to pick up a first down. And, you know, I think his running ability is something that can really help him out as a young quarterback and maybe pull that ball down and not make that throw that's a 50-50 in a big part of the game, you know, in the late of the game or something where, you know, you're coming back to get an important score, you know. So I think that ability is something that is yet to be seen a little bit, but that run right there showed us like the guy could do it. And you know, he's got young, fresh legs. No injuries, at least recently, to his legs. So he's fresh and able to do it, and certainly has the speed and the athleticism to make it happen.
You know, I'm wondering how willing and eager a runner he's going to be. I mean, one thing that, you know, you really pick up from day one in the COVID year in camp, this guy likes to play from the pocket. He wants to play the quarterback position like a quarterback. I mean, he is not a runner at all. And in this camp, he hasn't done all that much scrambling. He really hasn't. And so I wonder if it's how instinctive it'll be for him. Because like you said, you know, instead of throwing a pass, you know, finding a guy and throwing a 50-50 ball, you know, to get a, let's say it's third and six. Well, you know, if he can scramble for 8 yards, that's an easy way to keep the chains moving. I'm just not sure how often, if he's how willing he is to do that, or when it's game time and they're playing for real and not a preseason game, he'll be more than willing to do it. Because his just before you answer that, his 40 time was 4.74. Rodgers was 4.71, and his vertical was 33.5. Rodgers was 34.5. Rodgers was 33.5. They are really comparable athletes.
Oh, for sure. And one of the things that struck me, it was Love's first year, that they're going through footwork drills in practice, and you're like, holy smokes, this guy is almost 40 years old, and he's able to, his feet are as good or better than this young rookie, which you wouldn't expect from a guy of his age. So, you know, Rodgers had that ability to run. And I guess between the ears, he also knew when, you know, we got to keep this drive alive. And he got smarter when to do it. I know early in his career, he did it a lot more. At the end of his career in Green Bay, at least, he was more reserved with it, but just as deadly with his arm as he was with his feet. And it wasn't, you know, about, you know, being that running quarterback. It was picking up yards and moving the sticks. And that's the important thing. And that's going to be something that he's going to have to do, especially if you have a young group of receivers that are not going to be experienced in the first part of the season, that they're going to hopefully have a lot more experience by the end of the season. They'll be able to do some of the things in a scramble drill that maybe they aren't quite as instinctual right now as they hopefully will be by the end of the season. But I still believe that what that play showed and what we've seen with his footwork in practice, that he has that ability. Whether he's going to have to throttle back on occasion, because every quarterback wants to wing it, right? You know, he's coming right after Rodgers, so he's going to want to show off his arm, and certainly you got to have that attitude. And I'm going to throw it in there. I'm going to throw it in a small window, and I'm going to get these plays. And he's done that in the last two games in the five series that we've watched. He's able to kind of thread the needle at times and put the ball in a spot where only the receiver can get it. He had some bad misses and some high throws, but I think that is going to change. You know, they will try to coach that out of him and try to get, if you're going to miss, especially late in the play downfield, you got to miss low rather than miss high. But I think I really liked it. I really liked that look, and really showed that he is not just a pocket passer, and he's going to have to, you know, in game, be able to pull it down and throttle it down and carry that ball.
Let's you know, we only talked about this briefly on the phone, and we don't address this in our column that'll be posting, but wanted to ask you something about Sean Clifford and what you make of this guy. And I specifically, you know, I've been checking out Twitter, and there's somebody Gary Ellerson does, I think, a podcast or radio show. He's a former Packers player, and he's been retweeting all these fans who are saying that Clifford's better than Love, and they think that he should be playing, or, you know, if the Packers would be willing to admit a mistake, they'd play Clifford before the season is over. What do you make of that?
I think that's, you know, there's always a guy in camp that you feel really good about. I mean, I remember years ago where, you know, Brunell was supposedly better than Favre, or Aaron Brooks has more athleticism. You know, maybe he should be the guy carrying the ball, and he's not going to throw 22 interceptions in a year. No, it's a win now league. You got to win. And today, in 2023, the best quarterback on that football team is Jordan Love. Certainly, there's things that you are captivating about Clifford. He's a competitor. He even threw kind of a block. He's not afraid to run around a little bit and wing it up there. I just think that right now, he's kind of like he's kind of the sexy story, because he's, you know, he kind of looks like Favre a little bit when he runs around and throws it. He doesn't have nearly the arm strength, which why he could turn into an interception machine quickly, because he doesn't have that top end fastball. But he certainly is fun to watch, and, you know, I think people kind of bite on that and feel good about it. But If they're going to win, it's definitely not with him under center.
Yeah. Two things on that, to fill in Daldry. So early in camp, they're doing a drill. It's just the quarterbacks. You know, it's an individual period, and they're throwing really pretty deep outs into the end zone. And they just have basically have an equipment guy stand in the corner of the end zone, and the quarterbacks are throwing it to him from, I don't know where the ball's spot is, probably about the 15 or so, but it's a long throw there. I think they might even be throwing from the other hash. And you'd see Love throw it, and he'd throw it, and he could get it there on a line. And then you'd see Clifford throw it, and that ball, he had to throw it higher and put more loop on it to get it there. Now, arm strength isn't everything. There have been, you know, I mean, Brock Purdy is kind of the ultimate example right now of a guy who doesn't have a real strong arm, but he's going to be San Francisco's quarterback, and he looks like he's pretty decent. But that, you know, I still wonder about this this guy's upside. And the other thing, I thought people probably, you know, just they wouldn't necessarily think to look this up. Clifford is 4 months older than Jordan Love.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, he's played a ton of football in college, 5 years, right? At however many years, might have even been 6 years at Penn State. I'd have to go look that up again. And he started for him for 4 or 5 seasons. So he comes way more, you know, because people say, well, he's so much better than Love was his rookie year. Well, Love was also 21 or 22 years old and didn't have nearly as much experience. So I just think, I mean, who knows? 4 years from now, is there any chance Clifford could be better? Sure, there's always a chance. But Love just has so much more upside from what I've seen so far. I don't know if you agree with that at all.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you there. I mean, is Clifford exciting? Yeah, he runs around a little bit, and he looks really, really comfortable on the field, which for a young guy is kind of rare. You know, so he looks comfortable. So that's probably a tribute to the amount of football he's played at the upper levels of college as long as he has. And his leadership looks good. It seems like he knows where to go with the ball. He doesn't make any bad reads, but problem is I think he can turn into an interception machine. And, you know, that's the difference between, you know, because there's a lot of – I looked at X as well. Is it Twitter or is it X, whatever they call it now?
I'm still calling it Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's, you know, some of these guys are out there, you know, comparing him to Favre, and I think you want to, and you know, it's – but the difference between him and Favre is Favre was one tough knuckle, and he, boy, when he had a fastball, he could break your fingers if he really wanted to.
Yeah. You know, I just it's kind of crazy talk with the – to jump on Clippers back, and he's looked good. He's looked really good. And I mean, credit to Brian Gutekunst. Remember the uproar when they picked this guy? Cause I think a lot of the draft Knicks, the national draft Knicks didn't have a draftable grade on this guy, and the Packers Gutekunst took him in the fifth round. And I mean, it's looking like he's got a chance at minimum to be a pretty, you know, to be a decent backup in this league. So that was a good draft pickup. We got a couple more minutes here, so let's see what we could talk about. How about Elgton Jenkins? What is, you know, we all know how was his struggles last season coming back from that ACL. What did you see from what have you seen from Elgton Jenkins these last two games, especially this last one?
He's back to his pre-injury form of at left guard there, and being able to, you know, I think one of the best things about him, other than the fact that he's built a little bit different than most guards, he's got long arms. Which a lot of times guys with his body type, they kind of struggle inside because it's such a quick, you know, the ball snaps and you're into it right now. Red tackle, sometimes you have a little bit of time. But what you see from him is just explosive off the ball and his ability to go and pick off backers and be effective, not just go run downfield and get in the way. I mean, go and be an effective blocker downfield. Certainly he's got a chip on his shoulder and plays with it. And one thing you missed last year a lot when you watched him play was just that explosiveness and that he was so good at getting backers. And by the end of the season, he was much better. He certainly had some he's, you know, once he gets his hands on you, you're done. It's over. You're done for the play. But what I saw you know, so far has been just so much more explosion and being able to cut off backside backers, which those guys are, you know, they're running. If it's a play away, you know, I guess the one thing that's really important for the backside is being able to get, you know, if there's flow away from you, those backers are flying out of there. And he's able to get out there and not just, again, not just be effective, but get in front of them and put them down. And you saw him throw some cut blocks on backers. I just, you know, he just looks as good as advertised, better, as good as he was before the injury. You know, last year it wasn't as pretty as we all wanted, but, you know, coming back now, year two is kind of the magic year. Are these guys going to be able to come back? And this is the time for him. Well, he looks really good right now.
And last thing, Sean Ryan, third round pick last year, very unimpressive training camp. He made the team basically because he was a third round pick, not because he played like he should make the team. And then he got suspended for the last six games for violating the league's performance enhancing drug policy. What'd you see out of this guy? He's early in camp. To me, he just in one-on-ones, he looked like a different player. What have you seen in the games?
Oh, much better. Much huge improvement. You know, you talk about the second year step, right? That's the biggest improvement is between first year one and year two. And then obviously in the season, it's year between games one and three where you're going to see the mass, you know, the biggest improvements between football teams and football players. Explosiveness off the ball, gritty run blocker, effective in the pass blocking game. His feet look so much better. He just looks comfortable coming, you know, getting into his stance, and it's not belabored. It's not, you know, there's not a head on a swivel. He gets into a stance good. He comes off the ball. I like his pad level, which is really important because, you know, when you start playing some of these defenses, they're going to have big boys up there, and you got to be able to man up and bloody some noses sometimes. So I really like that. I like, you know, the grittiness when his run blocking is good, blocks to the whistle. So those are the things that, especially for a guard, you just want to have a guy in there that's a little unsavory at times, you know, like Jenkins, you know, you talk to the guy on the street and he's just a soft-spoken guy, but man, you put a helmet on him, stick him in the line there, and he's just a different individual. And that's what you need. Your guards need to be tough guys, and they need to be have a little bit of an unsavory attitude. And the step that you've seen from him between year one as a rookie to this year is remarkable. Because again, I was looking at him last year, I was really disappointed that they drafted a guy that high, and he just did not showcase anything.
Yeah, the smart money right now says he makes the team, and if they keep 10, Jake Hansen would make it, and that Royce Newman is probably the odd man out there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, guy as a rookie played a tremendous amount, but can't get out of his way with stupid penalties, unsure assignments, certainly a physical guy, kind of a brawler, but not really doesn't appear to have this assignment assuredness as Ryan or, you know, Jake Hansen being the center there. I thought he had made some moves positively as well over last season. So, you know, this is probably, you know, he's in his third year. So this is probably, we're probably going to get close to a ceiling here. But on the pass rush, you know, as a rookie and as a second year guy, you saw him snapped the ball and got stuck with his hand between his legs, and he's getting pushed back pretty regularly. And you didn't see that on Saturday night. You saw a lot of being able to grab a guy, hold him in tight. Run game not a strength, but you know, center's a unique position where you got to be, not only do you have to be physical, but you got to be mental too, because you're making all the line calls and all the line adjustments based upon, you know, what the defenses are. You know, because a lot of times, by the time the defense lines up, you might have made two or three different line calls based on what they're showing up front and what the scouting report says. So there's a lot of things there that's going on for the center other than just snapping the ball and beating the guy up in front of you.
All right. Well, I'm looking at the hourglass here, and the sand has run out, so we're going to have to wrap this up. But I want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll remember, we'll be back again next week after the Packers preseason finale against the Seattle Seahawks. So be sure to tune in then.
Afternoon game, Pete. Yeah, you must be really excited about that.
That's a thing of beauty, not one of these late nights. Those are tough on an old guy like me.
That's right.
Want to thank everybody for tuning in. This has been the After Further Review podcast. For Eric, I'm Pete. Take care, everybody.